Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and this is episode 530 of the Bold and the Brave Her podcast. All right, today I'm joined by Deborah Stoll, OMG. She is absolutely amazing, and we're going to learn why and how you should skateboard your way through middle age. What? So she wrote a book, the excerpt of which was in the Wall Street Journal. And you know me with the Wall Street Journal. You know how it goes. I'm trolling that thing like there's no tomorrow. First thing in the morning, that little cappuccino in hand. And what do I see? I see this fabulous piece about skateboarding your way through middle age. So who is Deborah? Deborah, who are you? You are a writer, screenwriter, songwriter. She's a writer, a journalist, an animator. And she has written a couple of fabulous books, Unvarnished, which came out in 2020. And this is the one that is so cool, Drop In. And this came out a little while ago, and her work and her illustrations, articles, essays have been all over the place, all over the place. Deborah, welcome to the Her podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right. So skateboarder. Okay. I mean, everyone knows, of course, I'm highly involved with physical activity, fitness at the academic level through the American College of Sports Medicine. I am a senior Olympic triathlete. At least I try to believe I am. I look at the pictures and I go, what the hell were you thinking? Maybe practice. I don't know. It's just saying. And I'm always looking for wild and crazy things going on out there in the world of women kicking ass. Now, you start your book with three quotes that I'm sorry, that just nail it. Now, the first one is from somebody, I don't even know who the hell, who's Mary Wollstonecraft? Wollstonecraft, whatever. It sounds like a while ago.
Yeah, a while ago, a writer.
Okay, so she's a writer, and she said this, and it's so elegant, so I'm going to say it elegantly.
Perfect.
Let us then, by being allowed to take the same exercises as boys, arrive at perfection of the body, that we may know how far the natural superiority of man extends. All right. Well, you're not going to find that sucker in the Urban Dictionary. All right. Let's go to, there's a middle one by Betty Friedan. Come on, man. Everyone out there knows Betty. I mean, she's sort of like the kick-ass woman. What up, right? So here she says, how could we ever really know or love each other as long as we played those roles that kept us from knowing or being ourselves? What that totally reminded me of is I grew up in an era when there were no girls' clubs, just boys' clubs. And so my little nose was pressed up against the glass watching my brothers learn how to swim. Of course, I memorized everything. And flash forward, I'm a master swimmer. But we made up for lost time now, didn't we? And then the third one is going to get us right into skateboarding. And it's by Kim Peters. And it's simple. It's a one-liner. I just wanted to be standing sideways. Deborah, why did you write this book?
Because when you fall skateboarding, it doesn't hurt. So I was looking for the easiest sport to do. That's not true. I never in my life ever thought about skateboarding, much less riding a skateboard, writing about skateboarding. But during COVID, I was living a couple houses down out in a town called Amagansett near my brother and his family. And his daughter at the time was 14.
That's in New York, right?
In New York, out on Long Island, the East End, on the beach, on the ocean. And my niece and I didn't know each other that well. I hadn't been living in New York since she had been born. So we only saw each other once a year. And, you know, that's not like, you don't get those tight relationships when you see somebody every month or so. And so I kept trying to bond with her. She's 14. It's COVID. Everything sucks. She's just not interested in anything. And I couldn't really crack it. And I kept trying to get her to surf with me. because that's what I love doing. And so just after her, and finally she was so bored because there was nothing to do during COVID, she caved. She came down to meet me at the surf break. And when she came down on a skateboard. And I thought it was super cool. I didn't know she skated. And I also kind of immediately realized that kids really love to teach adults things. So I said, hey, you know, I'm Miku Udiel. What if I teach you to surf and you teach me to skate? And that day changed our lives.
Wow.
We spent that whole day together surfing, screaming with joy, falling, freezing cold, laughing, getting out, drying off, hopping on skateboards, doing the same thing on the ground. And we became best friends. And so I immediately was like, let's just watch films and TV shows that are just women doing sports. And you may know this, but there aren't a hell of a lot of them.
Yeah, like zero, maybe.
Zero. So like two surfing ones, and there were none skateboarding. And so I started doing research, and the minimal amount of research that I could find about women skateboarders, they were so freaking cool and just interesting. And the little pieces that I could glean, I just wanted to know more. So I just kept looking. And then I realized, I don't think anything's been written about these icons. And so I wrote a book about it.
That is so awesome. And the excerpt was a scream, the way it starts. And so it's one of these things where, whoopsies, let me find out.
That's not an excerpt from the book.
No, no, but it's just from an essay about what this is all about. I love the whole issue of you had rules that I thought were really cool. One of the first, it's sort of like a little reality slap in the head. And one of the first was, you will be the oldest person there. When you go to that little skate park, just guaranteed you will be the oldest. Okay. What's that feel like?
It's super uncomfortable. See, it all makes me uncomfortable just talking about it. I mean, as much as we purport to be, which I am very comfortable in my skin and confident and fine in pretty much any situation, that you just feel, and I'm also not a great skater. I'm not a natural athlete. So not only to be the oldest person, but the worst at doing what you're going to do. And all of these just beautiful, super athletic kids are just looping you. Yeah, it's not awesome. And then that changes to leaning into that feeling of just being joyous for them and just doing whatever you're there to do.
I think that that's phenomenal. Okay, because what I was just holding on to things and getting ready to scream about is if you said something like, well, actually, I could burn 800 calories per hour going up and down and around, avoiding the little happy campers jumping all over me. And instead, you said, I don't know, like I'm not really that good at it, but it's cool, it's fun. And it brings me joy. So I'm, whoa. And that was the feeling I got from the book. That's the feeling I got from this essay that you wrote. It was just like, this is why I'm giving it a call out. Because can we just stop with all the weirdness? Now, unless you're a competitive Olympic athlete, okay, fine. You know, just like count the cows and feed yourself like a machine. That's cool. Knock yourself out. Simone, I'm talking to you. However, that being said, for the rest of us, mere mortals, why don't we just have some fun?
Yeah, I mean, there's such an emphasis in our lives on constantly progressing. And that if you're not great at something, then you should drop it and try something else. And there's such little room for play in our lives. There's no benefit to it is what we're told, unless you are there to strengthen your core, unless it's specifically to get more fit so that you look better in your skinny jeans. And I love skinny jeans as much as the next Gen Xer, but that is not my purpose in going out to skate. And it was such a revelation to realize that these things that just bring you pure joy in life make your life, everything else that you do in your life, better.
I love it. And this is why the play thing. So what's it like to skateboard? I'm dying to know. Like, take us through, like, I mean, what do you do out there? I watch people go up and down what looks like old swimming pools, basically.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy how satisfying that is.
Okay.
I can't fully understand. So there are traditionally two different kinds of skaters, like street skaters and park skaters. And street skaters are skaters who go out in the actual street and skate stuff that's in the street, on the street, park benches, whatever they find. And then park skaters are more in the bowls and ramps. And I can pump up and down a ramp like I have no brain, just for hours. I struggle to explain why it is so satisfying. It's a beautiful feeling, I guess, in the same way that for some people it's skiing, for some people it's swimming, whatever, running. Yeah, I don't know. It definitely pushes all my buttons for unknown reasons.
Okay, so what it reminds me is when I'm in the pool, I mean, I swim in lakes and the ocean and whatever too, but when I'm in the pool, it's like that black line that's on the bottom of the pool. It's mesmerizing. It's very hypnotic. You go back and forth and back and forth, you know, and I prefer the Olympic level so you can kind of get a lot more done at the same time. And it's just like really long, but I don't think about it that way. I look at that black line literally standing up before I'm in the pool and I think I'm already out of it. Like I'm just like into a zone and I'm there. Is that what you do?
No, it's like abject terror.
Ah, so you do terror.
I mean, it's terrifying to just stand from the ground. You look at something that you're going to drop into and it's 3 feet off the ground, maybe, which is not very far off the ground. It doesn't look like a big deal, but you stand there on a board. It's not attached to your feet. It's got wheels and you are about to drop. Just let yourself go. Knowing, you know, lean into it, which is not intuitive. You want to lean if you're falling. Normally you lean backward to counteract it. So it's everything that's not intuitive. And you're going onto the pavement and it is heart stopping.
And remind me again why you're doing this. I mean, is there like a psychological test you have to take before you do this? Is like, how crazy are you? Not are you crazy,
yeah. But
on a scale of 1 to 10, how nuts are you to do this when it would terrify the living hell out of most people?
Yeah. No, I think that that's why kids do it, right? That if you don't do it as a kid, then you never do it because it's terrifying. But like anything that's scary, when you face it, when you do it, when you conquer it, there is such a feeling of badassery, which I think is the technical term, and joy. And then you just want to do it again and again and again. And that feeling also really comes for me and for many of the people that I interviewed in the book when you have a community around you that's hyping you up and that's doing it with you and that they're doing it first and then you're going to do it. They're backing you up and you back each other up and you do this thing that's super scary and super exhilarating, and you do it together. And again, when else in your life are you having this kind of just free form, doesn't mean anything, not going to make your career better or your hair shinier? It's just for the pure joy of it.
I think it's fantastic. I mean, what kind of person is attracted to this? So you interviewed all these people. What, did you see a commonality there other than being totally insane to have to do this? This is like the common thread throughout that. But, you know, like if we were to talk to a woman who's like 50 and tried to, you know, like, hey, come on over here to the skate park. Let me turn you on to this. What's that about?
I think it's different. I guess the different ages, anybody who's older, even 20s, is like older in terms of skateboarding, right? So starting to do it or doing it for the first time when you're older, a lot of people in the book referenced that they wanted to do it when they were younger, but it was just for the boys. And that they followed those rules and they didn't do it. And this is them reclaiming their childhood. This is them realizing that they can do anything that the boys do, that oh, boys are better at skating. Well, boys are better at skating because only boys have been, quote unquote, allowed to skate. So what if the women, what if we all start in the same place at the same age? Then let's see if your body, Mr. So-and-so, is that much better than my body.
I love that. It's very much like from my world, which is the world of the marathon and the triathlon. One of my coolest friends is Kathy Switzer, who was the woman who snuck into the marathon, the Boston Marathon. Oh, and she had her ponytail up in her hat and the damn thing came down. And those guys, they did not like that. Oh no, but she finished. And here's the joke. She finished. I mean, you know, mind you, she lost time because they were trying to pull her out and everything. But her boyfriend, who was the size of a house and some power lifter guy, basically drop kicked them to the curb. But that being said, she still made it in the top third of the entire Boston group, which tells you, let me think now, let me just, even with the interruptions and all the distractions, she was better than two thirds of the guys. Rot-row. Okay, so it's interesting how there are parallels in all of these worlds that we live in. You wrote something funny here in the Wall Street Journal piece, men are gonna mansplain. So do you have guys like come up and go, hey, you know, I was kind of watching you and I could probably help you out with that little XYZ. Why don't you do it this way?
Yeah, there are different variations. It's funny because a lot of, maybe because I look so pathetic sometimes, like a lot of little boys come up to me, like little kids, and offer their suggestions. But the little boys, the little kids do it and they ask permission, which really—
Oh, that's so cute.
So cute.
Oh my God.
And so to me, like, oh, you're growing up right. You see me and you see me struggling and you're doing this thing that you love and you're not coming over to tell me what's up. You're coming over to say, I see you and do you want my help? And if not, I'm out. But yeah, no, the older dudes don't do that. They just, I was visiting my mom in Florida recently and I was pumping back and forth for hours, up and down the half pipe, kick, turn, pump, kick, turn, pump, kick, over and over. And I get off because I see some guy wants to get on. He's like, you know, you were doing kick turns.
Gee, no kidding.
I didn't even know how to react to that.
Well, what do you think I was doing?
Thank you. I don't know. Yeah. Are you, I was like, are you telling me that? Or are you, did you think I didn't know? And then another part of me was like, oh, the dude just wants to talk. And that was the only thing he could think of saying. But everything from that to, I had a, yeah, the shirtless, sweaty guy literally just come up to me in my face and start telling me how to breathe and like pounding on his chest. I don't, dudes are weird.
It's like, okay, what I would do is just lower my voice, my multimedia voice, and I would look directly at the person and say, thank you for sharing, and then go right back to doing what the hell I was doing. You wrote this one thing, but if you keep skating, at some point, you'll meet another woman who skates. No, stop. Another woman who skates, and then another. And pretty soon, you and your high vibe tribe won't give a hoot what anyone thinks. Tell us about your tribe.
Yeah, the high vibe tribe is what my girlfriends who were in the photos of the Wall Street Journal call it. That was there. I just love that term so much. So that's, shout out to them. That's theirs. I've had different high vibe tribes because I just live all over the place. And that's another beautiful thing about skating and knowing that there are other women out there, is that I can go to a park and I can find somebody. And because there still are so very few women in a skate park, you do tend to say hi and half the time end up skating together. But having those women to skate with, that totally changed my life. And it's not only you see your friends and you hang out with your friends, which is the best thing in the world, but this is like, you're hanging out with friends and you're actively doing something. You're doing this thing that's just inexplicable to anybody else and changes your relationship. It definitely not only amplifies, but accelerates that relationship, right? Because of what you're doing, because it's so scary. And because of in skating with women, you actually touch each other. You're actually holding each other's hands down the ramp. You're holding both their hands as you learn tricks. You're very hands-on, literally and figuratively. And that, I realized early on, was such a beautiful bonding thing, because how often do you touch other human beings that aren't your partner, or a brief fist bump or palm slap? And it's this very beautiful relationship that gets formed when you're putting yourself in somebody's hands.
I think that's incredible. Now, when we come back, I'm going to ask you this question. What did all of this kind of physical activity do to your lovely body? The Her Podcast is sponsored by Solaray Vitamins, Minerals, and Herbs, all rooted in nature. In addition to women's multivitamins, Solaray, S-O-L-A-R-A-Y, is presenting the new Her Life Stages products, providing support for the menstrual years, including PMS, perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause, and even libido. This integrative holistic approach has a woman's back throughout her entire life journey. To learn more about Her Life Stages, you've got options. You can run on over to your local health food store or check it out at Whole Foods, Sprouts, Amazon, or scroll over to Solaray.com and use promo code HER20 for 20% off your purchase. Women, Solaray's got your back. And we're back. Okay. So my question was, what does all this kind of physical activity do to your body? Do you do other workouts? Do you run? Do you hit the gym? What do you do?
Oh, that's a good question. I do all of it sometimes, at different times, in various places. That was a helpful answer, but I tend not to live in one place or have a real routine in any aspect of my life. So I can tell you that when I was living for 4 months in Scotland, I had never run as much in my life as I did there. Talk about mesmerizing. You were talking about the black line on the pool. I would lace up my sneakers, and I was living on this island out in the Hebrides called the Isle of Eigg. And I would run for 6 miles, which to me is bonkers.
It's a 10K, you know.
Never in a million years would I do that in a city on a treadmill. Never. You couldn't get me to do it. So I was running there, yoga. I love, 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 love yoga. Then I got thrown out of a yoga retreat. And now I don't love, 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 love yoga. Karen Rinaldi, that's another story. But Karen Rinaldi, a publisher who I published my first book with, she had one of my favorite quotes about yoga. And she said, yoga, not yogis.
Hmm.
Which I ascribe to. Yeah, I love lifting weights when I'm in a place where there's a gym. I love doing kung fu, which I'm terrible at. I love kickboxing. I love boxing. I love all of it. And it's all really just for me about what's accessible, what's around. And
I love listening to you because you're so unique in the sense that instead of saying, and every single day, I'm at the gym at 6 a.m. and I'm doing X number of sets of blah, blah reps of whatever the hell. And then, of course, I have to integrate aerobic, and the aerobic takes place 3 times a week at high intensity. Well, instead, you're just sort of like, well, I don't know. It depends upon where I am. Things happen and whatever. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you noticed a change in your body? I'm all about body composition. I'm an academician who loves to write about that. So I'm about, certainly, as you're in middle age, whatever in the hell that's supposed to mean. But what happens to your body when you do that much skateboarding? I'm just curious. Did you notice like, wow, suddenly my fill in the blank with the anatomical part changed? So like what?
I would imagine, I don't know, but I would imagine it's similar to swimming in that it's a full body workout, right? Like no part of your body isn't involved, even your arms. And I think that that changes. I can think of it in terms of when I first started snowboarding and you're really stiff and you're using every piece. And then once you get better and you're in the flow, your upper body relaxes. So it's more just your legs. But yeah, skateboarding is every part of your body. And so I definitely noticed a real, one of my girlfriends said it something like, you get a, wasn't like shrink wrapped, but you get snatched is what she said.
Snatched?
Snatched, which I love that term. You could just, it's kind of an onomatopoeia, right? You kind of see it like, yeah, your body just goes. And no one part stands out because you're using all of them, but your whole body just kind of suddenly gets a little like just fully toned. And
there you go. There you go.
Balance.
Balance. And of course, my God, of all sports that require balance, I mean, it's skateboarding, honey. You know, if you don't have very good balance, this is probably not for you, to say the least. But so many women complain about their bodies at middle age. They're getting my world famous. This is such a joke. In my very first book, I love to make up terms. It's just, I just do that. You're a writer and you're a screenwriter. Just make up words, you know. So one day when I was writing my very first book a while back, 3 a.m, I just sat up, bolt upright and went, menopot. And now it's in the damn dictionary. If you Google it, it'll say originated with Dr. Pamela Peake, you know, and then it's in the, so women complain about the little extra belly action going on in middle age, where suddenly they look down at their jeans and they're like, what the hell? Number one, it's getting to be like a little Mission Impossible zipping these suckers. And two, when I do, there's a whole lot of leakage. So that being said, what does skateboarding and all of this stuff do to shake up your body comp?
It's incredibly aerobic. I mean, even just the hard concept, and even still when I watch it, it doesn't look like you're doing much, right? Like, and I think also because you're used to seeing kids zipping by you on the street, it just looks like, yeah, easy. You're just pushing out. Like, it doesn't look like you're doing much, but it's actually incredibly difficult and takes an incredible amount of energy. And you're also doing it, just talking about skating down the street, over and over and over. You don't just kick once against the pavement and you glide to a block away. Like, so you're just physically constantly moving when you're skating. Yeah, so the aerobics, and then if you're like I am, you're falling all the time and you're pushing yourself.
That would freak me out because I'm tall and that'd be like the Eiffel Tower falling down. It's like, whoa, wait a minute now. This is why like gymnastics was not in my future as a child. It's like, give me something that's up where my oxygen level is, you know, and the thought of falling, I've done the roller skate thing and then the usual skate stuff with the current skatings. But, you know, it's like, wow, going up and down and flipping in the air and coming back down again. It's like, you know, whoa. I can imagine that's got to be exhausting. Absolutely exhausting.
It's a good exhausting.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I don't know. I have always thrilled when I fell. I don't know what it is. When I snowboard and I fall, I don't want to get hurt. But there was something so, somebody once likened it to, they're like, well, that's kind of like your life analogy. Like, you know, you've done this and this has worked and then you've moved on and you've like, this didn't work. You got back up and did it again. This didn't work. You got back up and do it again. So maybe it's also psychological in that it teaches you resiliency and you just know you can do whatever the hell you need to do.
It's interesting, that whole issue of fall, you wrote, and if you do care, if you choose skin over pads when you fall, and you will fall, it's going to take 100 years to heal. So this is why there was like kind of what you were talking about, the uncool factor. And that is you're like from your neck down to your ankles, you're in pads.
You're, I mean, like a helmet. Full.
Oh, yeah.
Full body.
Oh, yeah. It's like a full body thing. But then again, you get up and you move on to the next thing. You're kind of getting used to this thing. It's like anyone who's ever learned how to ice skate. Honey, listen, it's you and the ice. You're going to be meeting that ice more times than you know what to do with. And tell us about this piece you wrote, You Will Find Your People. There's been plenty of commentary lately about how hard it is for adults to make friends, but there's a ready fix, skateboarding. Now, I love that. What's that about?
Yeah, similar to what we were talking about before, most of us are raised to see our lives compartmentally. You do this, then you do this, and then you get married and you have these friends, and a lot of your friends are contingent on your kids' friends group, you know, or your significant other's work friends. And there are just all of these hard stops we're told in life where, like, you stop making friends, you stop trying new things. And it does us such a disservice as human beings. Most of us don't just want to stop learning or trying something new or going somewhere new or meeting new people. And so, especially when, for people who find it hard to make friends or who are maybe skateboarding, definitely seems to attract kind of outsider type people, right? So maybe they don't have these, they've never experienced having like a BFF or like a high vibe tribe. And so you find this thing where when you go to a skate park or you go to a skate meetup, and a lot of those people that are there are looking to connect with other people, with other like-minded people, and you're all there. If you're there, you have a lot of stuff in common. And it's just such a special, it's a really special feeling to meet people who get you, to put it simply, you know?
Is that why you entitled your book Drop In? Like, just drop in.
It's so funny with that title. It was never anything else. I don't even remember thinking of it. It seemed like there was no other, it meant that. It meant quite, you know, it was a skate trick. It meant just giving everything you have, just doing it, just going for it. And I was open at some point in publishing. They're always trying to change your title or change your book cover, or maybe you get one, but you don't get the other. So I was aware of that. And I was like, yeah, if you guys think of a different title, totally open to ideas, and no other title ever.
Well, that is like amazing, because I've written 5 books. I'm on my 6th now. And the titling thing is a nightmare. They have to convene 35 committees. Let's think about this. Should it be called X, Y, or Z? And then they rip it apart. Then they give it to you. You cry. You go, no, there's no way in God's green earth, and I'm not promoting this book if it has that kind of a time, you know, back and forth. But this whole thing about basically making friends, I love that. You said skateboarding is a rare sport in which the goals are personal, not about besting another team or player. Even pro skaters who compete tend to describe skating as a lifestyle or an art, not a sport. I thought that was the wildest thing, because I've never really honestly given skateboarding a second thought, because I said to myself, I will end up being a bunch of broken bones. However, that being said, I've always been fascinated with it in general. And when I read your piece and your book, Drop In, it just answered so many questions for me, because it's a world I don't know much about. Like, I don't hang around those kinds of parks. It's like, if, you know, I'm a triathlete. So when you come to a triathlon, we're a wild group. Okay. It's just like, it's a wild and salty group. And people are saying, hey, I got to put some more oil on me, or I'll never get this damn wetsuit off. And you're like, hey, can you oil me? And you're like, okay. And people don't understand. And it's just one of those things. And I just got to get through the swim, because that's when everybody dies. And so, you know, it's like small things like that. But until you're in that world, nobody understands. And here we are in skateboarding world. It almost makes me want to go to skate park and just see who shows up, who's there. Most of the time, I just see young men, mostly men, right?
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I was at Venice Beach the other day, the famous skate park there, right on the ocean. And it's so fun to see who's there. It's fun to see who has that one in particular, just because it's such a fishbowl, right? People go there to watch. So there's a big performative aspect at that park, but still going to see like who has the nerve to show up, who, when women get in, it's like, it's super exciting. But yeah, because it started not as a sport, because it didn't start, you know, it's not that old of an athletic endeavor, we'll call it. And it didn't start with competitions. It just started with surfers not being able to surf when the ocean was flat. And what do they do? How do they translate what they love to do in the ocean to the pavement? and surfing wasn't a competition. And for that reason, surfing and skateboarding have paralleled each other as a sport throughout the years, right? So when something happens in surfing, it's pretty certain that coming up right behind it is skateboarding. So in terms of contests, in terms of money for contests, in terms of letting women be in contests, which took a really long time, like every other sport allowing women in. Yeah, so for that reason, it comes from being a lifestyle. It comes from hanging out. It comes from doing something together for fun and not for competition. And so even when skaters did start competing, because it was a great way to make money, like everybody wants to do what they love for a living. One of my skaters, Vanessa Torres, says, she turned to her friends and she's like, I'm going to beat your ass out there on the course, but we're going to party later.
At all times. That's exactly the way I love it. You ended your piece beautifully with something. I mean, all these slices are so absolutely resonating with me. And you called it Forever Young. And we kind of go back to that little play thing again. At some point in our lives, you wrote, we were told that it's time to grow up. Time to trade our toys for activities that will set us on the path to becoming successful adults. This has done us a disservice. The benefits of play for children, exploration, building relationships, addressing fears, are the same for adults. I still want to explore, build relationships, get over my fears. I will also tell you that everyone I know who skates looks a decade younger than they really are. And I can say, we could just fill in everything. Anyone who's a runner, anyone who's a swimmer, anyone, just go right down the list. Pickleball, I don't know, whatever. You just look younger because it's kind of what I love to call the fit look. You're spiritually fit, you're mentally fit, you're physically fit. Everything starts coming in and making you feel like, yeah, I'm having a damn good time. And personally, I have a goal, and the goal is I don't want to ever grow up. And I'll tell you why. No, not from Dr. Peek, the clinical investigator from the National Institutes of Health, with all of her academics. Okay, here's what I'm going to tell you. All the research currently shows that the number one predictor for having a very robust, amazing health span, the number of years of living with great vitality, has nothing to do with your nutrition, your exercise, and all that. It's relationships. Do you have connection? You don't need 900 of them. I just want to let you know. Cats and dogs and birds and everything else count too. So you need relationships. You have to have relationships, connectivity in your life. That's one of the reasons why I love this whole skate thing, because it's like, man, you are definitely connecting. And to your point, you're even holding hands, for God's sake, and really getting into it, which I love. But the other thing that happens is you want to stay curious. You want to continue to learn, which is why the largest demographic sector of new students in this country are people 60 and over. They're enrolling in colleges, universities, they're getting into it, they're loving every moment of it. They're not doing it for a grade. I mean, obviously, they're going to get a grade, but they don't care. I mean, it's like, we're kind of been there, done that, got the t-shirt, but I want to stay curious. I want to expand my brain, and that's what's going to really enhance your longevity in the long run. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I totally relate to that. I think it's funny sometimes when people read out my bio list, I feel like, do I sound like a crazy person? But all of the things that I do them because I'm interested in them. I'm interested in learning. I'm interested in what it feels like to live on an island in Scotland in the winter. I'm interested in how you draw animation and how you edit it and how you put music to it. I'm interested in what does it feel like to write a song? What does it feel like to write a book? I had never written books before these two. And so it's just a combination of wanting to challenge myself, but challenging myself for no other reason other than I'm so interested. There's a quote, and I'm going to somewhat butcher it. And the quote, somebody asked this writer why he wrote, and he said, because our dreams and fantasies demand that we live 1,000 lives, but we only have one. So that to me is, when you say that, that's what I...
Yep. That's your call out right there. I could talk to you forever. You are amazing. I mean, I'm not even kidding. What's really wonderful here is that I wanted everyone out there on the Her Podcast land to hear from someone who's been quite successful, wrote a phenomenal book called Drop In. And then there's a subtitle, The Gender Rebels Who Changed the Face of Skateboarding. Just remember, Drop In, and that's by Deborah Stoll, S-T-O-L-L. And where can they learn more about you?
Well, if they speak Yiddish, it'll all make sense. I have a website. It's called Bubba Mainza, which is Yiddish for a grandmother's tall tale. And it has a bunch of stuff on it.
I love it. I went to it. Yep. And that's how I found you. I hunted you down. I stalked you with my team of very talented stalkers. This conversation really is amazing. It's made me just want to go out and, well, you know, most of my life, and I sense it from you too, when someone said, hey, let's hike the Grand Canyon. It's 26.2 miles, exactly a marathon. It's just, you know, you have a canyon in between and you got to get down 11 miles and you go across the base and then you stay at Phantom Ranch if you're lucky to get that. And then you go straight on up again. So it's a 2-day gig unless you're nuts. And then you do it all in one and then you end up in a hospital somewhere. But, and I raised my hand and said, hey, sure. And I even did it with the Discovery Channel. I said, come on down. Let me bring some of my crazy peak performers with me. And the answer was, yeah, sure. What the heck? What's the downside? What's the worst thing that could happen? Whatever. I like to look at life that way. Obviously, being strategic, there are certain things I'm just not going to do. Bungee jumping? No, it's not happening. Not in the near future. So, jumping out of planes? No, not happening.
Skateboarding. But,
skateboarding? I don't know. It's the bone thing. You know, it's like, I don't know. I got to protect those little precious bones of mine. But you know something? I looked at the amount of pads you have on you. I don't know. I mean, I could probably have a little fun out there. But Deborah, thank you so much for being on the Her Podcast. And we'll make certain that everybody runs on out there and grabs Drop In. Just remember those two words. That's all you got to know, by Deborah Stoll, S-T-O-L-L. Deborah, thank you for being on the Her Podcast.
Thank you for having me. This was super wonderful.
Awesome. And I also want to thank my sponsor, Solaray Vitamins, Minerals, and Herbs, all rooted in nature, and the new Her Life Stages products. Oh yeah. If you're in that little perimenopause, and if you have menstruation, it's got a little something there for you all the way through your hormonal stages. So scope it all out at Solaray, SOLARAY.com. Now take a moment and leave us a review, because I don't know, we sit around waiting to hear from you. You know what I'm saying? We love to hear from you. Everyone, this has been a production of Podcast Health. I got a little something for you. Remember, your time in this world may be limited, but the things you could do with that time are not. And man, did this podcast speak to that. Oh boy. So get on out there and do exactly like Deborah Stoll did and continues to do. Carpe diem, seize the day. Thanks for listening, everyone.